From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Morning on this Monday, Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio for the Oxford Exxon Podcast. This morning, one more game to go for the 2017 regular season, Egg Bowl Thursday night.
Are we there
night.
Yet, Dad?
Yeah, Egg Bowl Thursday night from Starkville, Mississippi. 14-point underdogs is where Ole Miss began. I saw it move to at least 17 at one point yesterday. It was moving up quickly, but opened at 14 when I saw it. At Odd Shark yesterday. We might get into some lines today. We've got a lot going on. We got about an hour and 10 minutes. We're going to give you some coaching search stuff. We are going to talk about some content we had up on the site, and then we will also discuss the latest in the Tom Maher soap opera as he can't seem to leave Ole Miss alone. So that and more today on the show.
USA Today really locked into the transfer market this year.
The transfer market, the third string depth chart for Ole Miss is secondary. That's a big deal for.
It's
for
a bizarre people. Story. I mean, it is newsworthy that he hired an attorney. We'll get to it in a minute. It was unnecessary. Yeah. He didn't have to hire an attorney. They would have let him out.
Yeah, it's a real strange deal.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Sorry.
That and more coming up on the show today. The Oxford Exxon, they gave away even more gas, more fuel on over the weekend. Three people. They're going to keep that up for basketball. So follow them at the Oxford Exxon. Be ready, and you can be one of the winners for Free Gas Fridays moving forward.
Speaking of basketball, real quick, there's a huge game tonight, Ole Miss and Utah. It's in Las Vegas. The game tips at 11:30. To my knowledge, there's no TV. There's some sort of a TV stream. If I can find it, I'll link it. We're not there, obviously. Anyway. The game does not tip until 11:30 Central.
10-second aside, why wouldn't ESPNU or somebody just throw that thing on the TV at 11:30?
That's a great question.
For people that are up.
I don't know. It's a great question.
It's better than whatever else they're doing at 11:30.
It's such a potentially big game that, hell, and I'm like you lately. I go to bed early. I would stay up and watch that. It is a huge game, but I will see if I can find a stream that you can watch the game on. I don't know of one as we tape this at 8:30 in the morning, but I'll work on it.
Well, only three games in, but Ken Palm has the two programs really close together in his ranking, and then Vegas.
Where does he have them?
It's 48 and 52 or something like that. And then Vegas opened Utah as a one-point favorite. It has since moved toward Ole Miss's favorite a little way in one direction, but I'm not sure exactly where it is as of right now.
Should be a really good game.
Again, Utah blasted Missouri in Salt Lake, but that was without Michael Porter Jr. So
there might be a whole lot of without Michael Porter Jr. this year. This is one of those crazy games, one of the weird things about college basketball. It's not even on the map right now because of all the football and all the stuff and the holiday and – yet these games end up sometimes being the difference between getting in the tournament and not getting in the tournament, and they don't even register right now.
A game at 11:30 in another time zone.
A game in Las Vegas at 11:30 at night, 3 days before Thanksgiving. The committee ends up looking at this is a neutral site game against probably a top 50 RPI team. This could end up being one of those wins that gets you off the bubble and into the field.
Winner losers play Rice and UNLV later in the week. So,
and I don't know if you have. I don't have. I should get Ken Palm up. I don't know if you know where UNLV is. I think UNLV is fairly highly ranked. Certainly higher ranked than Rice. That's the other thing. If you win tonight, even if you were to lose to UNLV on Wednesday, a loss to UNLV, quite frankly, is probably more helpful than a win over Rice.
Well, and that's something that's bitten Ole Miss in past years is they never win that first one to get into the good tiers to get the better games later in these tournaments. They typically will lose an opener, and then that has them play in Hawaii and, you know, somebody else instead of Oklahoma State, Virginia, or Kansas or something that they could do later on in the field.
It's a veteran team. They remember that loss to Creighton last year, the close loss where they were down in, I think, Puerto Rico. And
49 and 53, Utah and Ole Miss. Utah at 49, Ole Miss at 53 as of this morning.
Do you see UNLV?
140 for UNLV.
Okay. I don't know what I was thinking. Rice is even lower than that.
No, UNLV is 3-0.
Okay. All right. It's a big opportunity for Ole Miss.
Rice is 265 and 1-2.
You don't want them because it doesn't do any good for you. You'll beat them because they're horrible, but You don't want them. You want to win today and then play UNLV on Wednesday. And I mean, obviously, you want to win that game, but you want as many good-looking games on your resume. We'll get to it. We're jumping. They're off to a 3-0 start, and here's the advantage for Ole Miss. They've played three decent teams. No, they haven't played anybody that's going to the Final Four. But Louisiana Lafayette's going to win a bunch of Sun Belt games. That Georgia State team's going to win 20-plus games. That dude, Simons, 15, that dude can play. He has all sorts of game.
And then Eastern Kentucky's not going to suck.
No, because
they got Mayo.
Nick Mayo's a high-level player.
Yeah,
I mean, the NBA's looking at him. So he'll dominate games like that. So, no, are those Final Four teams, are they big resume-enhancing wins? No, they're not. And I'm not saying that they are. But there's nothing in that that's going to hurt you either. There's not that, well, you played Mississippi Valley or Prairie View or somebody with an RPI of 311 where the committee looks at it and goes, why'd you play that game?
Well, that's what something Utah's done. Their first two games were against SWAC teams.
Yeah, and then they beat Missouri without Porter, so we don't really know.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, you're good. Tell me about Clark Ford. Tell me about Clark Ford.
I will tell you about Clark Ford. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662. 257-1900 is the number that you call. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. I saw him at the Pavilion, speaking of basketball, the other night. He had about 32 9-year-olds or so with him. He had his hands full. He was a little frazzled. He won't be frazzled when you call him at Clark Ford. You're going to get a great vehicle. You're going to get great service after the sale. Phenomenal staff. They're going to take care of you. So it's really up to you. It's Thanksgiving week. We're approaching the end of the year. They're motivated to move vehicles off the lots. Nobody wants to pay more taxes, so they want to move vehicles. You're going to get an offer. If you want to shop it, shop it. It's up to you. It's fine. It's that time of the year. If you want to shop, shop. You're going to end up coming back to Clark Ford and letting Corey and the people there do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of the podcast. That's take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Also, tell Corey at the end of the deal, say, hey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention this one. You can mention the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I'm taping one of those today. You can mention the Soft Verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. I'm taping one of those today. You can mention any of those three. $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
So let's get straight into it. A couple programming notes before I lose this, because if not, I'm going to forget it the rest of the way. All media availability for the week is today, this afternoon.
Yes.
So we will have whatever to you moving forward from today. There's no practice access tomorrow with Thanksgiving. It is today around 1 o'clock, something like that. So there's not the regular 11 o'clock deal. It's at 1:15, and we'll move on from there. Okay.
It's at 2, isn't it?
I thought it was 1:15. They sent out an email last night.
Oh, hell, I don't know.
Either way, it's in the afternoon.
1:15 is even better for me.
Okay, so yesterday we updated the hot board that we had had up. I think we did our original one on November the – well, we did the original one the day Hugh Freeze was let go, but then we updated it at some point after that, and then again
We did our first real one.
November 5th.
The day of the Kentucky game?
I think it was November 5th.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so we updated it yesterday. We took some names off. One of those I actually had to put back, so we'll do that here in the next day or so. Also,
you're right.
We added three names. Focus a little bit on those today. We added Willie Taggart, the Oregon head coach who was at Western Kentucky, who was at South Florida, who would like the Florida job, would like the Florida State job. However, at the moment, that's not really probably happening, at least as of this taping.
There was an SB Nation report yesterday, and in fairness to SB Nation, they edited it and took it out and corrected it publicly very quickly, but some people missed that said that Ole Miss had offered Willie Taggart the job.
And that he had declined.
That is not accurate, per a myriad of sources.
Yeah, Godfrey's explanation was that they put a bunch of stuff in files and some things accidentally got deleted that were rumors. So
now, that being said, here's what I can tell you, and I can't tell you this from – I don't know what Ole Miss's line of thinking is. I do know from talking to people pretty close to Taggart, multiple people pretty close to Taggart. He's intrigued. I wrote that word last week, and people don't know what that word means. Yesterday, someone close to Taggart told me it's the longest of long shots. And people went, oh, well, that's really negative. It's not that he doesn't. It's not that. And when I say longest of long shots, it's a shot, Chase. There's a shot there. If Ole Miss gets aggressive and goes after Willie Taggart, they have a real shot. Now, there's a buyout at Oregon that's problematic, perhaps. My experience has been buyouts can be negotiated. Taggart, this is probably putting it too strongly. I think Taggart wants out of Oregon. I don't think it's been the greatest cultural fit. He has some concerns about his AD.
Yeah, Rob Mullins is being at least in the conversation for multiple athletic director jobs around the country.
Yeah, there's two AD spots, Auburn and Arkansas, open in the SEC, and Mullins' name is going to come up at both. Taggart's a little concerned that if Mullins leaves, there goes his parachute. I think I wrote some of this in 10 Thoughts, but hell, I don't know. Isn't that funny? You have so many conversations that a day later you can't remember everything you even wrote. He'd like to get the Florida job because, well, duh, he's from Bradenton. He has tons of connections in Florida. He's recruited Florida extensively throughout his career. Makes sense. It's not an insult at Ole Miss. It's just Florida, from a fit standpoint, would be a really good fit for Willie Taggart. It does not appear that he is either number one or number two for the Florida job. Number one for the Florida job is Chip Kelly, and we'll get to that in a minute. Number two, you hear Mike Norvell's name, believe it or not. You hear Dan Mullen's name. There's some other Taggart's in that mix who could be number two at Florida.
They had toyed around with Frost for a little while.
If they're going to get Frost, they better hustle.
Yeah.
The interesting thing with Frost, though, is that everybody has time because Frost, and correct me if I'm wrong, is going to play in a championship game in a week.
He is.
Wait, Scott Frost is not doing anything until that game's over. Scott Frost is not the most flexible dude in the history of the world from talking to people. Like, he is – he eats breakfast at the same time every morning. There's a little Nick Saban in Scott Frost, which could end up being a good thing. But regardless, that's going to slow this down. And I'm not sure for Ole Miss, slowing it down is not a great idea. Regardless, there's a lot could happen with Taggart. The Florida State job could open up. Just stop me, Chase, when I'm rambling. Gus Malzahn plays Alabama on Saturday at 2:30 in the Iron Bowl. If the winner goes to Atlanta for the championship game, it is certainly conceivable that Auburn wins that game. If Auburn wins that game, Arkansas might have a decision to make. Do they wait another week? Arkansas is going to fire Brett Bielema on Saturday. That job's going to open up. They want Gus Malzahn. If Gus Malzahn loses on Saturday, Auburn might just say, hey, you know what, this didn't work. It was okay. We had a nice run. Best of luck to you. See ya. The Auburn job opens up, and the name that you're going to hear immediately for the Auburn job is Jimbo Fisher. Will Jimbo leave? I don't know. If Jimbo leaves Florida State, the Florida State job opens up. Florida State would absolutely have major interest in Willie Taggart, and Willie Taggart would have interest in Florida State.
A little bit of an aside here. So reading from the Orlando Sentinel 16 hours ago, UCF plays USF this weekend. Central Florida plays South Florida. So yes. Scott Frost versus Charlie Strong. And if, or actually the winner of that game will play Memphis in the AAC title game.
Okay.
So he's got this game and then another week for a championship game. If he wins, I think they host. If UCF wins, UCF goes to Memphis and plays that game, if I have that correctly. But either way, he has two games left to win, and if he loses the first one, it's over. But if he wins them, he will then get his team into an access bowl because they'll be the highest ranked Group of Five team. The AAC game is going to be a play-in game for the Group of Five spot.
Gotcha.
Memphis or UCF or maybe even USF will all go to an access bowl, whoever wins that conference.
Okay.
So, anyway, there's Willie Taggart, as you outlined. We'll see. Some things have to turn, but it's there is where this is.
It's definitely there, and when you see someone dismiss it as, oh, there's no way, that is false.
Yeah.
That is absolutely false. Is it likely? Well, I don't know how you could say today that it's likely. I don't know how you could get there. There's too many things, too many variables to go, well, it's likely, because there's too many forks in the road. But is there a path for Willie Taggart and Ole Miss to end up having a really intense, real conversation? Damn right there is.
Yeah. Second guy that we put on the list yesterday was Dave Doran. He's the head coach at North Carolina State University. He is 32-30, I believe, in his time at NC State. He's from Kansas originally, as is Ross Bjork. And he was at Northern Illinois when he took Northern Illinois to the Orange Bowl a few years ago in 2012. You remember that team? I think they played Florida State, if I have that correctly, off the top of my head. And then he's been to NC State since 2013. They've gone 3-9 in year one. They were bad when he took over. 8-5, 7-6, 7-6, and then 7-4 this year, losing to Wake Forest this past weekend. They had a lot of notoriety going into the year because Cole Kubelik picked them to make the college football playoff. And they lost to South Carolina in week one. They've played pretty well, but it's been kind of an up-and-down season. We heard Doran's name a couple weeks ago. Neil first mentioned him in 10 Thoughts last Sunday, so a week from yesterday. And the thought around Doran is that this was the team at NC State that needed to elevate that program that probably is not sustainable at a really high level in Raleigh. I was part of it. Jason McIntyre and I were debating, the Fox Sports host, were debating multiple weeks ago about NC State versus Ole Miss and the job, and it's not even a question. At their max capability, Ole Miss is a far better job than North Carolina State.
Yes.
If he has maxed out what is up at North Carolina State, as that has been kind of an industry rumor, then he would be looking to potentially bolt to a better position. Ole Miss provides security. Ole Miss provides a lot of money. And Ole Miss provides a better recruiting situation. Now, in saying that, Doran has never been in the SEC. North Carolina State is as far south as he has ever come, and I know nothing about what a potential staff would look like for Dave Doran, but that would be a very big question. Not saying you couldn't answer it, but that would be the question I would have if I were Ross Bjork and I was interviewing Dave Doran, is who's coming with you.
Yeah, now he's been at Big 12 programs, he's been at Big 10 programs, and he's been a head coach since 2011. He's roughly my age.
He was Wisconsin's defensive coordinator. I mean,
yeah. I mean, he's good.
With Brett.
He turns 46 December the 3rd. So, I mean, he and I are roughly the same age, which is frightening. I can't even imagine being handed a SEC.
He was the recruiting coordinator that I don't think he was on their teams by then. I think he had already left for Wisconsin, but he built the Kansas team that actually went to the Orange Bowl, that went to the BCS game.
Right.
As a recruiting coordinator.
He's an interesting name. You just don't hear a lot about him because,
he's not a publicity hound in the slightest.
Not at all. He's pretty – the term that was used to me is he's buttoned up.
Yeah.
Which, I'll be honest.
Ole Miss could use some buttoned up
right
now.
I'm going to be honest, that kind of sounds like a Ross Bjork kind of guy.
Yeah, Ross is buttoned up.
Now, does Dave Doran check some of the boxes that Willie Taggart does? No. And I'm not referring to race. He doesn't get people excited right off the bat the way that Willie Taggart does. Willie Taggart is for Ole Miss. And tell me if you disagree. I mean, I'll probably punch you, but it's okay. Willie Taggart for Ole Miss is, you know, like when Giancarlo Stanton or Aaron Judge or name your power hitter.
Yeah, sure.
Gets the hanging curveball. And they're looking for a curveball, and they hit it right off the sweet spot, and the ball just, you think that's never coming down. It's that kind of home run. It's the majestic, wow, look at that home run, in my opinion.
Look,
you agree?
No, I agree with you. I agree with you, but this is interesting. So, okay. I agree with you on multiple fronts. I think Taggart... And this is even an interesting statement, because let's look at Taggart's background real quick.
Okay.
Western Kentucky as a position coach.
Played for Jack Harbaugh.
Yeah. Then 99 to 2006, he was just an assistant at Western Kentucky. Bunch
yes.
of different hats, but an assistant at Western Kentucky.
Yes.
Goes to Stanford for 3 years and coaches running backs.
With Jim Harbaugh.
That is correct. Then he comes back, head coach Western Kentucky, head coach South Florida, then now Oregon. Okay. He's 6-5, 3-5 this year at Oregon.
which is overachieving. They were expected to be a bad team.
South Florida, he took them from 2-10 in year 1 to 11-2 in year 4. Won the Birmingham Bowl in year 4.
Big bowl.
Western Kentucky took them from 2-10 to 7-5.
Twice in a row. Yeah.
So good. Rebuilding, good. Good resume.
Sure.
I believe he would be a Mississippi dynamo on the recruiting front.
Well, this is where you have to address the elephant in the room.
Okay.
He's an African.
That's not really the point I'm getting to in a minute, but that's part of it. Go ahead.
He's an African American. Ole Miss still unfairly, I think, fighting a stigma sometimes that national media and types try to pin on Ole Miss. That, oh, you know, this is where James Meredith happened. They waved the rebel flag, blah, blah, blah. They played Dixie, blah, 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 blah. And they won't let stuff die. Now, if you live here and you're around Oxford and Ole Miss a lot, you know that the last thing Ole Miss is a racist institution. You can question a lot of things if you'd like, but you can't question that. It is completely that.
I mean, another quick move over for a second.
Sure.
Houston Nutt's, Houston Nutt did a lot of dumb crap those last few years.
Yeah.
The dumbest thing he ever did was not signing Ralph David Abernathy.
Oh,
because,
God.
Number one, he would have helped. You would have had Martin Luther King Jr.'s right-hand guy's grandson on your roster. That ends all of it immediately. One of the top three dynamic civil rights people in history.
Yes.
His grandson would have been on your – he was dying for an Ole Miss offer. We talked to his parents for every week there for months.
You know how kids always play it coy. That kid said, if they offer me, I'm taking it.
He ends up at Cincinnati with Munchie Lego.
And he played. I should take a Munchie, too, just for the name.
You like Munchie.
I love Munchie.
Anyway.
Munchie had a good career.
He did. But that was so stupid.
It was. But Willie Taggart's an African-American.
Yeah.
He is – you wouldn't be able to use that against Ole Miss anymore.
He would be incredibly dynamic. He has a huge Q rating with the fan base. They would appreciate him. They would accept him.
Well, I think he would excite people. And let's – Ole Miss played a football game on Saturday night. We'll talk about it at some point. It was cold. I get it.
It rained
in the afternoon. It was cold.
But the crowd was non-existent for the last game of the year, and it was very quiet and dull when they were there.
Yeah, there was wind. It was cold. I get it. But come on, guys. That was that. You, if you're Ole Miss and you're sitting over there, you got to have something that gets people excited. I think I could be wrong. No one's consulting me.
So, all those things. I think he'd be a great recruiter. I think he hits a ton of boxes, as you said. He's 46-50 overall as a head coach.
Okay.
He's 0-1 as a bowl. Now he's rebuilt programs.
Right.
So, it takes time. It's going to screw with your record. I get all that.
Okay.
Nick Saban went 6-5 the first year at Alabama.
He did. Lost to ULM.
He did. Okay, but let's compare that to Doran, just for the heck of it.
Okay.
Dave Doran's 55-34.
Yeah,
Northern Illinois, South Florida, very similar.
He was like 23-4, 25-4, something like that.
Now he's above 500 at a middling ACC school.
It's putting it nicely.
Yeah, they're not a capable program normally.
A place that's known for Jim Valvano.
Yeah, Philip Rivers played there. That's about all I got.
Rivers did play there.
He did.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson played there too.
That's right.
Before he transferred to Wisconsin.
Right. That's right.
So. You've got Willie Taggart, dynamic recruiter, knows Florida, knows the South a little bit, even though he's never coached in the Southeast as far as take out Florida, because Florida is another country. Well, Florida's three countries in and of itself. There's the Panhandle, there's South Florida, and there's everything in the middle. So, but he hasn't been in Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, Louisiana, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Doran, on his resume, successful coach, a lot of years coaching about the same time. It's been at North Carolina State, again, make of that program what you will. Built Kansas into a BCS team, was at Stanford during a heyday time as they rebuilt that program. I'm sorry, that was back to Taggart. But he's – Wisconsin's what I meant. He went to the Rose Bowl with – I've got tons of pages up.
It is confusing.
They're both red and white. I get really confused.
Yeah, it's true.
And North Carolina State's red and white.
They are.
They would wear the red shirts with the white pants a lot here. I just have a hunch. So –
Go ahead.
Helped Bielema rebuild Wisconsin, maintain Wisconsin after everything they had dealt with over there. I guess Alvarez before that, if I have that correctly.
That's correct.
It's actually a very similar resume, a very similar structure. It's just that Doran has done it in other parts of the country that doesn't make it as well known.
Yeah.
It's actually very similar.
Well, and a lot of it, you referenced this at the beginning, they lost that opener to South Carolina.
And it just
from an attention standpoint, they went away. Our friend Cole Kubelik had talked about them being a title contender, and then when they lost to the Gamecocks to open the season, they just sort of went off the grid.
The only assistant coach under Doran's tree that has become a head coach was Rod Carey. Followed him at Northern Illinois. That was it.
Okay.
So there's just – otherwise, I really have no idea. Maybe Brett will be his defensive coordinator at Ole Miss.
You know what? I hope Brett does.
You'd really enjoy that, wouldn't you?
I would. I hope Brett takes a little time off and gets healthy.
Yeah.
I didn't think Brett looked good on Saturday in their game.
No, like I said, if you haven't seen him, look at the before and afters of Brett from Wisconsin to Arkansas.
Well, you tell me about that. And so I was watching that game on Saturday, and I was just kind of watching him when they showed him. I don't think he looks good. And everything I'm told about Brett Bielema is that he's a great guy. I mean, I've asked people because, you know, I like him. I just do. I like him. And I think he's a class act. And so I've asked people, because he really as good a dude as he comes across? Is that fake? Is it just no. He's that way every day. And he's got a young child, and I hope for his sake, seriously, that whatever it is, I hope that he gets healthy. I really do.
Yeah, so last thing on Doran, the biggest question mark is he hasn't recruited in the SEC, and I don't know what the staff would be. But anyway, we'll continue to talk about him in the –
And we added another name too, right?
We are. I'm going to talk about it in a second.
Okay.
Before we do that, tell you the podcast is brought to you by Tyson Drugs. TysonDrugs.com is the holiday season is gearing up. A good time to check out Tyson Drugs and get sildenafil. You can fill out the form directly online. You can give them a call at 662-252-2321. When you call them and ask for that $10 version of that $50 or $60 little blue pill, that gets you ready in a faster time and has the same length of effectiveness. They will hook you up and help you out as the temperatures drop and it gets a little colder around. So let them know. They'll deliver the medicine to you. Again, 662-252-2321.
I shouldn't laugh. Why do I laugh? How does the cold impact that kind of thing outside? You're not going to answer? Or are we back to
Well, it's always a theory that more babies are born around August and in September.
Because it's cold outside.
March, right? Isn't that accurate?
I guess, does this counteract? I'm thinking about the Seinfeld episode of the shrinkage episode.
It does, yes.
Okay. That's good. That's good to know. Podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work, it's second to none. Comer's an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, and you'll get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. I spent Friday at Grenada Nissan. Probably was there a little longer than I wanted to be. They could not have been nicer to me, though. They took care of me. Turns out I had a radiator issue. They squeezed me in that day, got it done. Great service, Raphael, and the people there at Grenada Nissan are fantastic. Gene and Sandy do a great job. I got to visit with Gene a good bit on Friday. You should check out. I was walking around the showroom. A lot of the great new Nissans that are out. The new Pathfinder coming out soon is going to be really cool. So if you're looking for a Nissan, that's the place to go. Grenada Nissan, just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. Excuse me, OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the big benefits that the big mega banks provide. They offer all the technology and products you want, but they do it with a personal touch. They also offer their customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
So the other name that we added was Dana Holgorsen, West Virginia head coach.
Yeah.
We heard this name several weeks ago as well, and we weren't going to do anything with it, frankly. I called Neil later on when he heard it. He called me. And it just didn't go away. Now, I don't think the odds are good here. I think this is people around Holgorsen floating his name for multiple jobs all over the country and trying to keep him in as good of an advantage from a financial standpoint as humanly possible, thus keeping them in the best financial spot as humanly possible.
Yeah, I don't begrudge anybody doing that.
But I think this is mostly floating. We simply heard it enough to where, hell, we had a lot of names on there. What's one more? Because we had heard it. So
well,
that's
kind of
where it was.
There's a negative with him in his background.
Has a lot of personal crap in his background.
Mostly alcohol-related.
Yeah.
Now, in fairness to him, it was all 6-7 years ago, but it's there. He's a hell of a good football coach. He wins. West Virginia's a different place. I've been. I don't think you've ever been to Morgantown.
I've never been to Morgantown.
It's different. And he's done really well there. I mean, there, you know, when you West Virginia's on your schedule, nobody looks at that and goes, W. It's gonna be you're gonna play a game. I'm not sure that I completely buy Dana Holgorsen as a candidate here. But I hear it enough, and I know you do too, consistently enough, that I'm not ready to dismiss it either. I'm not ready to go, nah, he's not on the list.
Well, Lord, no.
And Dana Holgorsen's a hell of a good football coach. They play an exciting brand of football. They score points. They're pretty physical. They show up.
I mean,
there's some boxes that he doesn't check. Some boxes that he does.
I mean, compared to Gruden's college coaching history, I mean, Holgorsen's basically a Mississippian. He coached at Mississippi College in some point in the 90s. So, I mean, you know.
The Gruden thing. We don't.
It's amazing. Gruden and Peyton Manning went to dinner the other night at the most popular restaurant right beside the stadium in Knoxville, and no one had a picture except the back of Gruden's head. It was phenomenal. It's amazing how everybody forgot their phones. Neil can't walk into a place and not have more pictures than that taken.
Ooh, that's scary. You've been to Calhoun's, right?
I have, yeah.
It's right there. There's no – the whole report was so stupid.
The food actually kind of sucks. It's location and it's a tourist trap.
And I mean no offense to you at Applebee's, but it's Applebee's.
Yeah, with a different name on it and some orange paint.
And right next to the stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a convenience factor that's there. Hey, let's get some sliders. We can walk across the stadium. The beer's cold.
Yeah, there's beer, TVs, and ribs.
Yeah, come on, yeah.
Anyway. So that's why Dana was on there. Again, took some off, got to add one back. That's where we are with the hot board.
You got to add one back or two back?
I'm only aware of one, but maybe there's one I'm forgetting. I don't know.
We only talk about 12 times a day. There was a conversation. Yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Maybe I'll remember, maybe I won't.
So I'm going to hit this for a second, too. I've seen a lot of angst in the last how many ever hours over this video board thing Saturday night.
Oh, the angst. Yeah, that angst.
Tommy Tuberville. He was calling the game on ESPN2. Apparently did a pretty shit job of it, but he was calling the game on ESPN2.
Someone said that it's like someone just dropped him in there and said, hey, you're calling the game. Go.
Yeah. It's kind of what happened. We had AK on the podcast that time. Hey, what are y'all doing? Hey, we're all doing the show. Okay, come on, let's do it. All right, cool.
The difference is you probably could drop AK in a football broadcast booth, and he would still knock it out.
I just want to give AK his own podcast. Calipari has his own podcast. Well, I take that back. I don't, because he would steal our listens. So, no, yeah. AK, do something else.
Shut the hell up.
Satellite radio, maybe.
Yeah. Andy, you didn't hear that.
Yeah, sorry.
Go back to sleep.
Yeah. Go look at some Utah game film.
Yeah, go study some more film.
He's in Vegas, not asleep.
Well, it's still 6 in the morning there.
7, right?
I don't know.
Anyway, it's not 6. He's not in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
They're an hour behind us.
Yeah, they're not 3.
Okay.
He's not in Hawaii.
So he's up.
He's up.
Yeah.
So we have play tonight anyway. All right. I get what they were trying to do. I understand it.
I do
it
too.
It was to bring levity. It was to be funny. I think Michael Thompson used the word troll.
I laughed. But here's the difference. You and I both knew Tommy was there calling the game.
A large percentage of the people in Von Hemingway Stadium were A, cold, B, unaware of Tommy being in the building.
I think that's A.
Well, yeah, I wasn't necessarily
putting
them in.
Oh, I got you.
I think 1, 2, 3. ABC isn't as importance related as 1, 2, 3 would be.
Michael Jackson once sang that ABC is as easy as 1, 2, 3.
He did. It's easier because it's not as complicated. So, they didn't know it was in the stadium. They were cold. And let's be real here, too. The Ole Miss fan base right now is not the most jolly-go-lucky group in America. They're
kind of
pissed off.
I've noticed this, yes.
So, okay. Like I said, I got it. It wasn't Tommy today. It was Tommy from 1997. I think it was the very first Are You Ready when they started doing this back in the day.
Okay.
Tommy Tuberville doing it for a game against probably Tulane or somebody in 97.
Yeah.
So, I get it. I really have no problem with it. I completely understand it. However, it does fall flat when no one knows he's in the building and you just happen to pull Tommy out for the Jumbotron that day, as some people thought, because that would look a little weird, be a little strange. Also, while what he has done at multiple programs in leaving is cowardly and dumb, for lack of a better terms, Ole Miss and Texas Tech.
At one program. Texas Tech. I'm familiar with how he left Ole Miss. I'm not going to call it cowardly.
I don't think the comment was necessary. I think you could have downplayed.
The pine box.
Yeah. You could have downplayed that a little bit in that week and whatever.
But if we're going to crucify Tuberville for the way that he left Ole Miss, you have to turn around and crucify Nick Saban for the way that he left the Dolphins. It can be a non-forgivable thing. I'm not prepared to do that.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, Tommy did a lot of good things here. I've actually thought over time, and it has. Over time, people are more okay with Tommy as time has passed. His popularity is higher now than it was 5 years ago in Oxford.
Yeah.
The problem being, though, there's just so much going on with this program. It's a 5-5 team locked into a close game against a very average Texas A&M game at the team at the time.
Yeah.
It's NCAA stuff. It's the last game of a season when there is no bowl eligibility possibility.
Yeah.
It's all those things that created a mood for people just to be pissed off and hate whatever you threw up on that board, if it even hinted at humor or being funny in a way that could be taken any other way. And that's what happened here. Ross Bjork apologized. Michael Thompson apologized over the last 24 to 36 hours.
I didn't think they owed anybody an apology.
Yeah, I thought it was misguided because of just the situation that everything is in. If Ole Miss, if everybody knows Tommy's in the building and Ole Miss is playing Texas A&M and they're 8-2 and this thing's rolling,
people laugh.
Everybody laughing.
Yeah, it also
it was overall mood more than
it also thing. Showed you how checked out a lot of people are on the season.
They didn't know it.
Yes, I was talking to Ben Craddock yesterday. Ben's going to come on the show tomorrow, and we were just chatting about the season. He was like, you know, we were just talking. What are you guys going to write? What are you guys going to do, et cetera? Just having a conversation. And I was like, yeah, you know, we'll cover the game. It's just there's not a lot of interest in it. There's a diehard interest in it that's always there. But the masses are far more interested in the coaching search and the NCAA thing than they are the football game. It's just people are – and so I think during the week last week, Antonio Morales wrote a good story about Tommy Tuberville's return. It shows you that – probably shows the Clarion Ledger that a lot of people weren't reading it. Not because it was badly done. Antonio does a great job. I just don't think anybody notices. I don't think people kept up with the – preview to the game. I still think there's a lot of build up to these games. And so the game happened and people looked up and said, I had no idea. I heard people tell me that on Sunday. I didn't know Tommy was doing the game.
Yeah, you know, Ole Miss Twitter had joked about it on Monday or Tuesday. It had been around, but yeah, you're right. So many people are just not consuming media about things right now.
What I'm about to say probably applies to Michael Thompson and Ross Bjork. It applies to you. It applies to me. People in our world, we pay a lot of attention to Twitter. The masses don't.
No.
The general public is not on Twitter all day. They miss it. I just think most of the people in that stadium had no idea that Tommy Tuberville was doing the game.
Industry guidelines say that a tweet is good for about 7 minutes. That's it.
Yeah.
7 minutes.
And a lot of people aren't on Twitter. And they're sure not doing what we do all day, where we're kind of on it all day. In our world, if you cover athletics or you're in athletics, you give Twitter more weight than you do if you're in the general public.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm kind of mixed on what I overall think about it. I think the apology was the PR move, but I didn't think it was overly necessary. I thought that there were a couple things going on with the climate around Ole Miss that made it a bad idea more than it being an overall bad idea, was my opinion. So, just not a real comedic place at the moment.
No, nobody wants jokes.
Really at all. I mean, we can be sarcastic and get some laughs a little bit, but that's it's almost got to be dark humor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody wants today's Disney, where it's just rainbows and sunshine. That's not really the jokes anybody's wanting. So, I guess that's all on that. Deontay Anderson.
Okay.
Dan Wolken tweeted out last night around 11 p.m. that big news coming about Ole Miss. Stay up for it. I think he actually told people to stay up for it. Turns out he had big news on a third-string redshirt defensive back. Deontay Anderson, who Neil fell in love with because he did a skydiving video to announce his commitment a few years ago.
I did.
You did?
I did.
A guy that I thought would play a lot. Turns out even on this team and in this secondary, during fall camp, he struggled to find a role. I don't know if he'd gain weight or not, but he was slower. He just didn't move well. It was not – I mean, they would have loved Deontay Anderson to have been the Deontay Anderson they expected. It didn't happen. He chose to voluntarily redshirt instead of fighting for playing time after that point where it was determined that he probably wasn't going to have much of a role. He's sitting out. Everybody knew he was transferring. I mean, that's been the worst-kept secret for months.
Yes.
We've talked about it on here. We've talked about the message board. He was always going to leave.
Yes.
There were rumors going around always that he was going to basically wait and see if Ole Miss got a two-year bowl ban. And if they did, he was going to put out a waiver or ask for a waiver to play immediately at another school. Well,
yes.
Ole Miss is still waiting for the decision from the NCAA, as all of you are very well aware. So he hires Tom Mars, of all people.
This is the only part that baffles me.
Hires Tom Mars, of Houston Nutt fame, of Steve Robertson fame, frankly.
Yes.
A little triangle going on here. And hires him.
That is one nasty triangle.
Do what?
That's a nasty triangle.
So hires him to try to force the issue when the NCAA rules are very clear here. He is redshirting, and he played last season. Once he played a down last season, his clock began.
Yes.
He has 5 years to play 4 years.
He does.
Okay. Last year was one. Next year is two. And
now he has three to play three.
That is correct. Going into next season, going into 2018, he has three to play three.
Yes.
If he stays at Ole Miss, he has three to play three.
Yes.
He can play all three seasons. If he leaves and goes to another FBS team.
Yes.
If he goes to another FBS team, he has to sit out for a season per the NCAA transfer rules.
Unless he is granted a waiver that he is allowed to request.
Ole Miss's release or lack of a release only has to do with his scholarship. It has nothing to do with his sit-out ability or lack of sit-out ability.
Yes.
None.
Ole Miss will release him, and then he can go to another school and immediately go on scholarship. He can then appeal to the NCAA for a waiver that will or will not be granted by the NCAA. Ole Miss would have no say at all, zero to my understanding. So please correct me if I'm wrong. Ole Miss would have no say at all as to whether or not Deontay Anderson or anybody would get a waiver from the NCAA. I don't think Ole Miss can do anything to help the waiver or hurt the waiver.
No, they can't. The only spot where it's a little strange for Ole Miss is – my phone's blowing up.
Yeah, I know.
I see it. Yeah. Is
– disadvantage of all the friends you have.
Wolkin mentioned this last night in his story.
Yeah.
And look, nuance, people. Nuance. Nuance. I'm not saying this is going crazy. It sets a weird precedent if you completely release Anderson to any school. Because Anderson is citing the fact that he was misled during recruiting as a reason he should have immediate eligibility with the NCAA.
Well, that'd be one hell of a precedent all over the country.
That's what he is asking for.
A lot of misleading.
It doesn't help his case very much that I don't know how he got it, but Ben Garrett found a tweet last night of Anderson admitting that he was not misled whatsoever in a tweet. That probably hurts your case a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway. I mean, I'm just saying that that's probably a bit of a defense, but anyway. So, how's Morris to help the fact that he says he was misled? If Ole Miss granted a full release, it would create at least the potential of a precedent being set for other players to ask for the same full release that were also in that class. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And I mean, the reason behind that being a fairly big deal is that if a kid decided to transfer, you would rather not have to give them complete scholarship transfer ability to every school in the country that you play in or is also in your division.
Yes.
So that's the precedent that actually makes me wonder a little bit as this moves forward. But I don't see where he has much of a case. This seems stupid.
Yeah.
Good luck on determining the burden of which kids are misled across the country and which kids are not misled across the country in recruiting.
Well, they're all misled.
Of course. That's what I'm saying. So good luck finding that little line there.
Read recruiting interviews. Take the Ole Miss part out of it. If you're out there listening to us where you have an emotional attachment, go seriously subscribe for 1 month to a Big Ten site. You can afford it. Subscribe to the Wisconsin site for a month, the Iowa site for a month. All the kids, what do they say? Yeah, the coaches told me I could come in and play immediately. Told me I could come in and contribute immediately. I'm the answer at fill in the blank position. What happens to the kid? Hey, red shirts play special teams. Was he misled? Yeah, sure. Part of it. Yes, he was misled. Misleading is part of recruiting. You are misled. You're told what you want to hear to some degree. Deontay Anderson knew about an NCAA investigation. He was one of the kids that came in on that weekend that the NOA went down. I'll give Hugh Freeze this and Ole Miss this. Ole Miss, were they screwed up, in my opinion? I'm on record saying this. I would have called, because that was the first NOA, Chase. I would have called the media and gone, hey, look, we printed out some copies of the NOA. You can't take them out of the building, but you can come sit in that media workroom and read them and write to your heart's content. We're not even going to redact. Go. Because there wasn't a lot in it. But the kids that were on visits that weekend, they knew what was in those documents because it was the topic of conversation. So I don't know about being misled. It's just bottom line with Deontay, for whatever reason, is he wasn't good enough to get on the field. And he wasn't good enough to stay on the field. And he couldn't play on this team? This defensive backfield? I'm not making fun of anybody, and I certainly don't like making fun of kids, but there was a if you were a really good safety, you're playing on this team. A lot.
Ample opportunity for playing time on this.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. There was ample opportunity to secure playing time.
Crazy. Anyway, that's it. If something happens, as of right now, it's Mars and Deontay, and it's a lot of grandstanding at the moment. So if it moves past that, we'll talk about it. But I don't know. I'm not overly interested in day by day blows of that case.
Wilkins' involvement in this is just
anything Mars would like him to write.
Yeah.
Anything.
Now, I've seen people say, well, now what's coming is Anderson's going to say he got paid in recruiting. So Anderson's going to go out and actively sabotage his own eligibility? Stop. I mean, if he does, good for him. It's not the brightest thing one could possibly do.
Do you ever step back and realize how crazy this is we're in the middle of?
Oh, yeah.
Mars, Wolken, Robertson.
Oh, it's bizarre.
State Twitter, everything.
Well, state Twitter is an own. It's a, you talk about Florida being its own world. You should apologize to Florida.
State Tennessee and Florida State have the worst Twitter accounts for fan bases.
Yeah.
You know, FSU Twitter used to be the running joke. That's just because State didn't win enough.
FSU Twitter has some humor mixed into it.
I don't know. That Jameis Winston defense stuff back in the day.
Oh, then that's true. That's true. I stand corrected. Mississippi State Twitter is... Whew. Those are some unhappy people, man. Those are some lonely, unhappy, paranoid, delusional people. Those are some people who, quite frankly, need to be committed. I'm totally serious. Those are some people that, those are grown men living with mama still. Those are frightening people.
You've caught a run of it here lately, so.
Some of those cats, I'd love to, like, seriously, I would love to know their real identity.
They're all around you. Normal dudes.
No, they're not normal.
You don't think so?
No.
You don't
no.
think it's Joe down at the hardware store?
No, I don't think. I don't think some of the people that are on Mississippi State Twitter are capable of like being in a relationship, having children, parenting, taking their kid to the soccer game.
You don't think it's the soccer coach?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't think these are people that are capable of taking little Johnny to the flag football game, coming home, making sure that little Johnny and little Jenny are fed, put them in bed at the right time, give them a hug, and tell them they love them. No. There's no way. No way. Nope. That's a dude who's a freak show. I mean, his internet search history is curl your toes frightening.
Okay.
They're what? I mean, seriously, some of those people are one thing removed from serial killer. Just okay. Like in the DNA, there's just like one little thing missing.
What is not frightening is the float down option at Community Mortgage. It allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can find Jason Lowe at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com. Again, remember, they're in Memphis, DeSoto County, Chattanooga, and Oxford, and all underwriting and processing in Memphis. So you get local underwriting that understands your market. Again, 662-234-2704.
My 10 weekend thoughts are up on the site. They are, what time I put them up? At 1:30?
It was early. It was afternoon yesterday.
It was halftime of the Saints game.
It was, because you were guiding me through the last few minutes of the, or a few seconds of the Saints half.
Did you give up on the Saints?
Yes, I down 14 points. I started 15. Moving around the house. Yeah, whatever. Started moving around the house, doing some other things, and then I was actually soaking a crock pot dish, and I heard Breeze back to pass, and I'm like, the game's not still on. What the hell's going on? So I walked in, and it was the very, 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 I guess, end of regulation when I turned it on. And I saw it and was like, oh, this is interesting. And then Manti Te'o out with a stop. They get the ball back, and Mark Ingram just ran around the end a few times, and that was that. Eight in a row.
I watched the whole second half at the gym. I ran the second half in the overtime. That was a phenomenal football game.
In the two-minute drill, Breeze was 11 for 11 for 160-something yards, I think.
Yeah, breaking he is accurate.
He's very accurate, yes. Go ahead.
My 10 Weekend Thoughts, they're brought to you by Harry Alexander. They're up at rebelgrove.com. It's not a premium item this week, so it was read by some of Mississippi State Twitter. I probably got some feedback from them, but I have about 200 of them on mute, so I don't know. Anyway, harryalexander.com, H-A at harryalexander.com. Harry works for REMAX Legacy Realty. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. The podcast is also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you are getting a good one with Robert Gambrell. They handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or Oxford, 662-281-8800. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders, one very easy online application, rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee. For Oxford Exxon podcast listeners, that's a $500 savings, so call him today. Everyone knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at the property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give Romero a call, go to Google and hit Romero Miller State Farm in the little search thingy. Read the reviews. And then if you're in Mississippi or Tennessee, call Romero for all of your insurance needs. 662-893-1212. Also brought to you by Vitamind. Vitamin open Tuesday through Sunday, so get in touch with them tomorrow, 662-638-3600. Info at vitamin.com. It's at 3010 Old Taylor Road in Oxford. They've got the IVs and shots. They also have cryosauna, the infrared sauna, a smoothie bar, so much more at Vitamin.
Podcast also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. They are a full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. It's time to plant those flower beds, and you better hurry because frost starting to take shape a little bit. It was down into the low 30s this morning, so perfect time to get that done to avoid the hot, dry summer. Let them help you out with leaves around your yard, and don't forget to get a quote if you're ready to build that fence, stone patio, deck, arbor, or other outdoor living area. MasterCuts can help you out with that, so get the free quote, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. I use them. You should, too.
Yeah, you should. The quick reminder, if you are interested in Oxford Park Commission Youth Soccer, registration's ongoing through December the 15th. You can rejoin your team for the fall for just $30. You can sign up as a new player for $55. Leagues open for ages 5 to 16. Season begins in mid-February. It'll go through early April. The games will be played at beautiful FNC Park, where you will walk on the grass there and think, why can't I get my lawn to look this way? You will think it, trust me, and then you send me an email and go, I thought that, and I'll say, welcome to my world. To register or for more information, check them out, www.oxfordparkcommission.com.
A little bit of update. We are going to set a date for Neil's golf round in the next couple days. We're looking somewhere in the next 3 weeks, I think, is the plan here. Going to start letting him hit some golf balls this week, get acclimated a little bit as we get awesome. Into the Thanksgiving break.
I'm ready.
Gives Neil 3 weeks or so to get his outfit ready for the occasion as well.
I dreamt about golf last night.
What'd you dream?
You and I were doing a alternating shot thing.
I would not want to play alternate shot.
No, you were pissed at me.
Yeah.
You were so mad at me, and I was like, this was – I kept yelling at you. This was your idea. I'm only here because you made me be here. And I hit a shot off a wall. The shot went off the wall, and you were so mad. You were like, all you have to do is just tap it.
You didn't tap it.
I don't remember what I did, but you were so mad at me. It was the angriest I've ever seen Chase Parham. And I was looking at you like, this is, you're so stupid to be mad at me. This is on totally on you.
So I'll set it up. St. Jude is getting us a donation page set up. That will be for people that just want to donate. Well, if we're going to figure out a way to do the per stroke thing, because I would actually rather people donate a certain amount per stroke. It makes it a little more fun. As Neil's score starts to balloon toward 200, the signage I have kind of going on as I'm getting things ready is strokes for St. Jude, the pursuit to break 200 is what is on my my signage right now that I'm creating in Photoshop. So we're gonna get this done. Remember, there's a couple spots available for auctioning off to play with Neil and to basically be on a golf course freezing for 6 hours if you'd like to. We'd appreciate any participation there. And then I got word. I heard from Jonathan Randolph. He texted me on Friday night and told me he would be happy to be involved in this, the former Ole Miss All-American and the PGA Tour Pro. His off-season is kicking in for the next month or so. He'll be in town. He said, just let him know. He'll help you read the greens. He'll help officiate, help keep score. So read he will be he'll be around to help Neil out. You can if you play, you also get to be around Jonathan a little bit on that day.
Jonathan, where's the windmill? I don't see it.
I had a buddy tell me yesterday on like the couple hardest holes, we ought to put a thing in to at least let Jonathan hit your drives on those holes.
Oh, I'm all for that.
Like, let Jonathan hit your drive on a couple of the harder holes to get you down in the fairway somewhere.
See, now we're starting to make some sense.
Well, but that hurts your score.
It would help my score.
Not for the kids.
Maybe people have to give a little bit more. I don't know. I'm concerned about my ability to even finish some holes.
Well, see, okay, that is my one question as we move out of this for the day. I do worry about your stamina and just not getting frustrated on the course.
I'm not going to get frustrated.
You're not going to get frustrated.
I'm not going to get frustrated because this is the last time I'm probably ever going to play golf. What difference does it make?
What is the score you would have to shoot to actually think, hey, I'd like to spend some more time doing this?
Like 140? If I shot like 140, I'd be like, oh, you know, maybe I could be a 100 golfer someday.
Yeah, I just don't think you can shoot 140.
No, of course not. I'm going to shoot like 290.
Well, you're not shooting 290.
See, you keep telling me this stuff about rules and out of bounds, and I'm like, so I'm going to be standing on a – I'm still going to be hitting it off the stupid tee thing with like a sitting on seven. And that's when I'm going to look at you and go, this was dumb.
It's when you could really use Jonathan to poke one out in the fairway and let's get moving with a round a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the deal. Maybe if you hit two balls out of bounds, he hits the next one.
Someone said that I should have, and I tend to agree with this, but it would eat too much time up. I should get two tee shots.
Per hole?
Unless the first one's good. Like if the first one's bad, I get
you
rather
get
than
over. A mulligan.
I get several mulligans off the tee.
Where, once you're in the fairway, play the rest of the hole. But
Yeah. I mean, if it's just a decent shot, move on.
Yeah.
But if I hit like one that's an abortion of a shot, I get to go and do it again.
Yeah. If you hit it out of bounds or if you topped it and you're 3 yards off the tee box.
Yeah. I get, okay, that didn't work. We acknowledge up front, he sucks at golf. Let's let him try again. It's the difference between having a little mercy and just being in it for the humiliation.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be humiliated. I'm telling you up front, I suck horribly at golf.
We'll see. We'll talk about it. The line, by the way, is at 15 currently for Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Back down to 15 on most books. Missouri at Arkansas, probably the last game for Brett as a Hog. Arkansas is a 13-point underdog in that game. Sorry, that's come down to 11.5. 11.5 now. Missouri giving Arkansas. A lot of rivalry games that are not going to be close this week, by the way. Louisville against Kentucky. Louisville giving 10 to the Wildcats this week in Lexington.
Yeah.
Florida State giving 3.5 to Florida this weekend. What do you think?
Who would have ever thought that game would be this way? Yuck. Probably laying them.
Ohio State giving Michigan 13 this week.
Go Buckeyes.
In Ann Arbor.
Why am I so anti-Harbaugh? I don't have a reason to be. I'm just there.
I kind of am too.
How about my Northwestern Wildcats keep winning?
They win again?
Yeah. Blew out somebody.
What's their record? They've won like 5 in a row.
Solid. It's a solid record.
Georgia, 12.5-point favorite against Georgia Tech this weekend.
It's a scary game.
Oklahoma State coming off a loss is a 40-point favorite against Kansas this weekend.
Northwestern is second in the Big Ten. They are 7-3. Look at my boys.
Yeah, because they won 3 overtime games in a row, something like that.
Yeah, they beat Minnesota 39-0 on Saturday. They play Illinois this coming Saturday.
Speaking of, Dave Doran and NC State, they're 15.5-point favorite against North Carolina and Larry Fedora this week. So they're going to go 8-4. They're going to beat North Carolina. They're going to go 8-4 this season.
It's a solid year.
Alabama -7 against the Auburn Tigers is the opener. It's down to 4.5.
I love Auburn in this game, although if you're Gus Malzahn, what do you want to do deep down? Saturday night's good. It's going to be a good night for Gus Malzahn one way or the other.
It is.
He's either going to have just beaten Alabama and be able to go to Auburn and go, hey, pardon me here, pay up, bitches.
Yeah.
Or he's the next coach in Arkansas.
Northwestern is going to win another game because they play Illinois.
I know, so I was just telling you.
Yeah. 14-point against Illinois. Tennessee -1 against the Vanderbilt Commodores this weekend. 0-7 in the SEC. 0-7 in the SEC.
Not watching. No way.
Who you taking? Tennessee -1.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
They're better than Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt sucks.
Oh, God. Oh, God, they're bad.
Willie Taggart's a 21.5-point favorite against Oregon State this weekend. Clemson is a 16-point favorite against South Carolina this weekend. LSU is an 11-point favorite against Texas A&M this weekend.
Weird game. Yeah, give Ed credit. They've played pretty well this year.
They're going to go 9-3.
With the loss to Troy being the one that kind of stops them from being
real relevant.
Really relevant.
Yeah, so. There are the lines. We will be back tomorrow with another podcast. Hope you enjoyed today again. The family of podcasts will have more episodes as well. Again, Neil said a soft verbal coming your way, a beer garden coming your way. And here's a little bit of our schedule. We're going to do a podcast tomorrow. It's possible we take Wednesday and Thursday off is kind of the thought right now. If something crazy happens, we can end up changing our Wednesday plans. But as of now, Wednesday off, Thursday off, and then you'll get another one on Friday. So you'll actually have something to kill some time with when the in-laws stayed a little over their welcome after Thursday night, might have spent the night the next morning. You'll get a podcast on late Thursday, early Friday for Friday morning. So there's kind of what we're thinking. We'll let you know. Again, Ole Miss, Utah, I don't think on television, but 11:30 tonight. We'll talk about that tomorrow, and then they play Rice or UNLV in the next round out in Vegas. Talk to you later.